Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
There was always something peculiar about my roommate, Neb. Granted, we knew each other most of our lives. It wasn't until we moved in together that I realized something about him was amiss. We always had a lot of mutual interests, from hobbies, movies, video games, and recreational activities, to aspirations, foods, and alcohol preferences. We even looked alike. After we got our place together, a 3-bedroom single-family home, we contemplated what to do with the 3rd bedroom, which Neb eventually convinced me to let him convert into his personal art studio. We both aspired to become artists, but when I asked if we could start sharing the studio, Neb quickly said no, citing his extreme self-consciousness and need for privacy with his projects. "When the time is right, I'll show you everything I'm working on," Neb would say whenever I brought it up. Although our work schedules prevented us from being in the house at the same time too often, Neb always seemed to be cooped up in his studio, sometimes for days on end. I figured he was even sleeping in there, since his bedroom consisted of a chair and some boxes stacked against the wall. More so out of concern than frustration, I brought up the seemingly unorthodox amount of time Neb spent inside his studio to him, which was when he finally agreed to show me his sundry of work. I'll admit, I was a little envious over everything Neb had accomplished, which for me was enough to justify why he'd hold himself up in there for extensive periods of time. There were over 12 paintings displayed on the walls and 2 canvas stands shrouded under white sheets. The L-shaped desk in the room was covered with papers, sketchbooks and a laptop, while the bookshelf was filled with a swath of art supplies. Neb's paintings were mesmerizing, as they were grotesque. Some were simpler, depicting animals, portraits, shapes and symbols, while the more elaborate ones featured abstract designs, monstrous or mythical beings, and even unsettling illustrations of bodily scars, open wounds and butchered limbs. When I asked Neb where he got his inspiration from, we went to his desk, where he showed me detailed sketches of photos of something that took me by surprise. Tattoos. I've always admired the craftsmanship that goes into making one, but they lack certain components that keep their depictions from being perfected, which can only be achieved through painting and drawing, Neb arrogantly explained to me as he flipped through one of his sketchbooks. It's sort of a niche in the art world that hasn't been previously delved into, nor get the attention it deserves. I grew more envious over my roommate's progression, but became bewildered and suspicious when he revealed the source of his inspiration. I don't recall specifically discussing this with Neb, but I did hold that same belief about tattoo art. Part of me immediately resented Neb for capitalizing on, or, as I initially thought, stealing my idea. On the contrary, we both practically thought alike, so it shouldn't come as much of a surprise that our unique approaches would overlap. Although I was a lazy, unmotivated procrastinator, which I ultimately blamed on my creative inaction, part of me couldn't accept this was nothing more than a highly improbable coincidence. In retrospect, Neb always had a proactive mentality when it came to his aspirations and interests. I was the dreamer. He was the doer. He never really encouraged or approached me when acting on something we mutually yearned, which I don't really blame him for, given my overall lack of ambition. Not that I didn't make an effort to mobilize my creative passion, but nothing I said or did ever stuck. It depressed me often, sometimes to the point where I wouldn't even want to get out of bed, especially knowing I had my own incompetence to blame. "Where on earth did you even come across all these tattoos?" I asked, flipping through the sketchbook. Smirking, Neb gestured with his head as we walked up to a white coffee table-sized container that I just realized was adjacent to the desk. I was hit with a burst of cold, dry air when Neb opened the top, realizing it was a freezer. When I saw what Neb was storing inside, my blood ran cold. The freezer contained strips of vacuum-sealed human skin that varied in shape and size. Some were sealed on their own, while plastic sheets held anywhere from 2 or 3 to over a dozen. Each strip of human skin contained some kind of tattoo. Neb retrieved one sheet containing 4 or 5 vacuum-sealed strips of human skin that he gestured for me to hold, causing me to quickly back away out of sheer fright and revulsion. "They're non-objective donors," Neb said, in a disturbingly nonchalant tone. "How?" was the only word I shakily uttered as a knotty queasiness quickly formed in my stomach. Shutting the freezer, Neb lightly chuckled. "Let's put it this way. Anyone I got these from had no use for them anyway." He swiftly faced me, the expression on his face turning sterner and more sinister. "And this always stays between us. Got it?" I slowly shook my head in agreement, after which Neb escorted me out of the room. Neb changed after that day. He grew more controlling and oppressive to the point where I was genuinely intimidated. He started being one step ahead of me, seeming to know every one of my actions or decisions, like he could somehow read my mind. I thought about finding a way out of my lease, but didn't want to endure the potential ramifications. Plus, I'm sure Neb would somehow uncover and sabotage my plan. Instead, I adapted by spending more time out of the house. Living with Neb had become daunting, but I wasn't being pushed to my breaking point at first. That changed when I met Cynthia. She worked as a barista at the coffee shop I frequented, where I started visiting after work and during my downtime more often. We never really spoke much until I started spending more time there and learned we had a lot in common. Eventually, I worked up the courage to ask Cynthia on a date, and she gratefully accepted, saying she's been waiting for me to ask her since we started talking. We exchanged numbers and discussed the details as she closed up the shop, agreeing to meet tomorrow afternoon for drinks at a nearby gastropub. We were outside as she turned away to lock the front doors. It was the first time I noticed the intricate tattoo on her back, an almond-shaped eye with a deep blue iris and light orange pupil, from which 2 angel wings protruded that ran the length of her shoulders. The feathers were white and different shades of grey, but were crafted with such detail they could pass as real. "They're beautiful," I said in a hypnotic tone as she turned back to face me. "I beg your pardon?" Cynthia asked, a smile spreading across her bright red lips as her green eyes flickered. "Your tattoo," I said, bashfully, as I awkwardly pointed at her and made a vague circular motion with my finger. Turning to look over her shoulder, Cynthia flipped some strands of her light reddish-brown hair. Blushing lightly, she smiled coyly as she took a few steps forward and gave me a quick peck on the lips that took me by surprise. "There's a whole lot more below you can see," she whispered to me, winking as she started down the street. "Maybe I'll show you tomorrow, Brian." Totally tongue-tied, my jaw dropped slightly as I watched Cynthia walk to a car. I probably stood there for about 5 more minutes after Cynthia drove away, while my brain registered everything that had just happened. During those first few minutes, I was completely consumed with thoughts of Cynthia and our upcoming date. My euphoria extenuated by a sharp sense of giddiness that ran up and down my chest and stomach. "She's something," I mumbled before I got myself to start walking. There was something about Cynthia that elevated my feelings about her tenfold. She was as warm, personable, and interesting as she was mysterious, compassionate, and vivacious. I kept replaying this particular image of her that reinvigorated my enthusiasm and flair I developed for her. I imagined facing Cynthia backside while she lay in the bed, resting her head in her palm. The dress I imagined her wearing completely exposed the back, and I kept zooming in on the tattoo across her back, which was when I realized that particular part about Cynthia was the source of my infatuation. As I pondered what specifically about Cynthia's tattoo prompted my wondrous adoration of her, the uplifting sensation quickly faded and was replaced with a sense of dismay and unease. Thinking about a tattoo quickly shifted my focus to Neb and his collection. There was no way he could ever meet or even lay eyes on Cynthia. I could never bring her to the house as long as I lived with Neb. There were only 3 months left on our lease. I figured if things got serious between me and Cynthia, I'd be able to avoid bringing her over to my place for that long until I found a new one. When I returned home that night, Neb was in his art studio. I didn't bother him and tried making as little noise as possible so he wouldn't hear me. Since I didn't have work the next day, I opened a bottle of wine and binged on my variety of streaming platforms late into the night. I wound up staying up much later than I wanted, 5 a.m. to be exact, before finally going to bed. I had a pretty strong buzz going, which was enough to repress my swirling concerns about Neb and focus solely on Cynthia. I went to bed feeling eager and optimistic about tomorrow afternoon, stopping in front of the closed door to Neb's art studio before entering my bedroom. Light from inside was spilling from under the door's crack, and I couldn't hear him moving around inside. Figuring he must have fallen asleep, I stepped inside my room and plopped on the bed, drifting off within minutes. Soon as I woke up, something didn't feel right. Grunting at the light aching in my head, I slowly turned over to face my nightstand. My eyes widened and I sprang to life upon seeing my radio clock screen was blank. I saw it wasn't even plugged in and scrambled to my phone, which was charging on my desk. I turned on my screen and saw the time read 2:38 p.m. My gut twisted. I was supposed to meet Cynthia 40 minutes ago. I saw she even texted me and swiftly unlocked my phone to view a message. Her text had 2 words. "I'm here." But what made me pause was the time it was sent. 1:29 p.m. Arching an eyebrow, I tapped on a message with my finger and realized an entire conversation had occurred. Shuddering at the possibility of texting her when I was drunk last night, I was able to recall everything I did from the moment I got home, which put me more at ease. The first text was sent around noon, which was even more perplexing. "Me. Can't wait to see you today. Doesn't make sense to wait, does it?" "Her. Lol, what do you mean?" "What do you think I mean?" "I don't know. You trying to meet up soonish? How about nowish?" "Lol, I'm down. Come to my place. Short walk away. I finished some paintings I want you to see." My heart sank. I wanted to find Neb and strangle him until his neck snapped, but was anchored to the floor and continued reading. "Me. Here's a quick walk from the shop. 800 Taylor Lane. Light blue house." "Her. I didn't know you're a painter." "Me. Artist." "Her. Lol, of course. So, should I expect to see you soon? Should I bring anything?" "Just yourself, smiley face. Text me when you're outside and I'll let you in." "Cynthia, 12:54 p.m. "Okay, leaving in 15-20 minutes. "Cynthia, 1:12 p.m. Leaving now. Be there soonish, lol. Cynthia. 1:29 PM. I'm here. I wasn't sure what to think as I set my phone back down and stormed out of the bedroom. Did Neb actually swoop in and steal my date? Were they locked up inside his studio, looking at Neb's paintings? The bouts of jealousy quickly turned to genuine fear and worry when I reminded myself what Neb had in that room. His skin collection. People's tattoos. While trying not to fathom what Neb was capable of accomplishing over the last hour, I was also trying to determine how Neb unlocked my phone. Did he find a way to get my password? Hack it remotely? My thoughts froze when I stopped at the doorway to Neb's studio, which was now open. I stepped inside when I didn't hear any voices or movement. Although the art studio was empty, I raced towards the freezer, threw the lid open, and started frantically sifting through the sheets and flaps of vacuum-sealed skin, sighing in relief when I didn't see Cynthia's tattoo. After seeing Neb's room was also empty, I returned to my bedroom and immediately called Cynthia. After the first ring, I heard the sounds of a ringtone coming from downstairs, which sent a sharp chill down my spine. I stood motionless with my phone pressed against my ear until it went to voicemail. Breathing deeply, I slowly approached the banister and peered into the living room. I nervously called out to Cynthia as I started descending the stairs, desperate to hear her respond. Silence. A wave of dread swept over me when I spotted Cynthia's boots by the front door. Entering the kitchen, I saw Cynthia's coat thrown over a chair. Her cell phone lay on the table next to a purse, and a light grey blouse, which had smeary, dark red streaks and distinct tear marks. No, I gasped, wildly scanning my surroundings as I wallowed in uncertainty on where I should check next. I was drawn to the downstairs bathroom, where the light was on inside and the door was slightly ajar. I screamed Cynthia's name as I threw the door open and almost fell to my knees upon being greeted to the grisly sight before me. Cynthia's limp body hung from the shower curtain rail. She was completely topless and her wrists were tightly bound to the metal pole. Her motionless, dangling head was entwined with saran wrap and streaks of blood ran down her torso, legs, and the bathtub's side. I raced towards Cynthia and tried freeing her wrists, which were tied to the pole with metal wiring. Her body collapsed on top of me as I cushioned her fall by catching and tightly wrapping my arms around her. My arms felt the slimy, sticky surface on her back, where the flap of skin her tattoo covered, which was pasted on the bathtub wall, had been removed. Regardless, I slowly let Cynthia's body down and started undoing the saran wrap around her face. I paused a few times to glance at the upside-down, cone-shaped strip of skin from Cynthia's back that betrayed her full tattoo. Cynthia was right when she said there was more to it than what I saw. The winged eye was perched atop a narrow, spike-shaped staff that appeared to have ran down the length of her back. Weaving around the staff was a light green vine and black thorns, from which 4 or 5 blood-red roses blossomed. Beautiful, isn't it? I heard Neb's voice say behind me. She's long gone, by the way. Like I said, they come from non-objective donors. They have no use for them anymore. I stopped unwrapping Cynthia's head and slowly stood up after Neb's remarks. My fist tightly clenched and heart racing, I struggled to contain my anger as I shot one more glance at the skin strip brandishing Cynthia's tattoo, before slowly turning and peering into the bathroom mirror. "You don't get it, do you?" Neb said condescendingly, as I felt him looming behind me. "This particular one, it represents us. The eye and staff are you. Our foundation, are visionary. The vine and roses are your hindrances, keeping you from thriving. And I am the wings, the means that lift you from your monotony, your conscious constraints. I felt Neb encompass me with his encroaching presence as he whispered in my ear, "I'm freeing you." "From what?" I quickly asked in a staggered, breathy voice. "From yourself, Brian," he said, belittlingly. "You always had that creative drive within you, just didn't know how to impel it. You became so disconnected from your aspirational identity as a result, but channeled it through me to keep it alive, to nourish and savor it. Now look at what I brought you, Brian. The means to craft your greatest masterpiece yet." My resentment and fear toward Neb were replaced with a sense of calmness and clarity as I started making sense of what he was saying. Neb's revelation invigorated me as I stared at him in the mirror, both of us wearing the same exact sly smirk when everything he said started making sense. I did become the doer I yearned to be and had been for much longer than I realized, with Neb being the one to open my eyes. "And the collection's greatest addition yet," I added to Neb's comment as I stared into my reflection's eyes of the body we shared. "Time to start painting."
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.